More people have come in since I sat down. So good to see you. Good to see you. Welcome back. Got company. Got people with us I haven't seen for a long, long while. So welcome, welcome. Always good to get together, we say. We say that often, but we say it sincerely. Good to get together. There's a young couple that came in this morning after Bible class. They came up to me and introduced themselves to me and me to them. And they said, it's a young couple. they said that I performed their marriage 45 years ago?
44.
What's a year? 40. He's going. I said, really? And they told me their names and performed a wedding at the women's club there in Chula Vista. So I remember doing a wedding way, way back then. I hadn't seen them since the wedding. So they wanted to look me up, see what I looked like. And then you know what else they said? They said, now you were 26, I think, when you married us. So you're probably 72 now. Where did that come from? I said, that's right. But they said you're still good looking. I think they said that. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning on a good looking Christian. That's why I said all that. So you're very welcome to follow along as we go through the outline or through the notes. By way of introduction, you recognize our life is a life of looks. And we say, look at this. When I'm driving, Christine says, look where you're going, or where you're driving. You say, look out. I mean, people say, I like the looks of this. You're in a traffic accident or it slows down on the freeway, we have our looky-loo. I remember a television program called Superman back when I was a child, and that program always began, look up in the sky. Forget the rest. I'm old. It's a bird. It's a plane. Yeah, you remember that. But look. At railroad crossings, we see the sign, stop, look, and listen. You know, each morning when we get up and we look in the mirror, we begin to make adjustments to our looks. Most of you do. We ask other people, how do I look? But this lesson is about spiritual looks. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, see then. Take a look. See then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, look carefully how you walk. Look in all directions. Be aware of your surroundings, even spiritually walking. Physically, we hopefully do that. You know, when we're walking across a parking lot, we want to be careful how we walk. We look. But think about spiritually. I want to look out for the dangers that will hinder my spiritual life. I want to look out for the good things that will contribute to a successful walk. So he says, walk circumspectly. So let's take note of some things that we should look at that will help us not only in our relationships to one another, but in our relationship to God. Number one, we want to have a look upward. Look upward. When Jesus prayed, and he did that quite often, and it's recorded in the Bible, but in John chapter 17, we have rather lengthy prayer of Jesus recorded. And it begins by saying, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes into heaven, he said, Father. And then for the next 26 verses, you have the Lord's Prayer. In Psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 5, verse 3, the psalmist says, my voice you will hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto you and will look up. I know typically when we pray, we look down. We bow our heads. Maybe even close our eyes. Fold our hands. And I think we use that physical posture just to get rid of all the distractions that may come about while we're involved in our prayer. We want to do that. But the verse is not so concerned about that physical posture. I think I want you to look up in prayer. I want you to recognize, God, you give us good things. You have that ability to influence our life. In other words, in prayer, I want you to look up and see God and then talk to God. God, I need you again today. God, I don't think things are going to go so well in this situation. You look up in prayer. God, help me. Thank you for your abiding presence. Appreciate what you do. So just even that physical posture, look up in prayer. That's a good look, to look up. Also look up in attitude and direction for life. In Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, if ye be risen with Christ, well, we have, those of us who have been baptized, we're risen with Christ. It says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. So when we talk about being a good-looking Christian, not necessarily physically, but spiritually, I want to be sure that my life looks up. Looks up. Number two, look down. Now look down. Obviously, humility. The Bible uses phrases for humility like lowliness of mind. It means the absence of vanity or arrogance. Not necessarily just a physical look down. It's an attitude again. It's a lack of pretentiousness. Looking up should cause us to look down. When we look up and see the majesty of God, and his care and concern for us, then, oh, that's right. I want to assume an attitude, maybe sometimes even a posture, that recognizes someone greater than us. When I see God's goodness, oh, thank you. Thank you. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 12, put on, therefore, as God's elect, that's us, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, that's right, meekness and long-suffering, that's right. We want to look down in caution. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, let him that thinks he stands, oh, of humility. Take heed lest you fall. I want to look down. Remember the old children's song when I was young? I remember this. It goes back a lot of years. But the song began, careful little eyes, what you see. Careful little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful little eyes, what you see. Then went to be careful little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. And be careful, little feet, where you go. And then the last stanza would be, so watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. Watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. For as the Father up above, looking down in tender love, so watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. So when we look up, it causes us to look down. Number three, look forward. This is in hope, with a desire and an expectation of fulfillment. means if we have and we should live a life of hope, it's confident expectation. It has to do, as the verse that we read this morning, has to do with the unseen, the future. It means I want to trust that what God says He will do, that what God says He will provide, it will be there in hope. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 uses the phrase, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. So I'm looking forward in hope, because there's things that I can't see. But my faith and my trust and my hope is a foundation upon which I stand. It's fundamental to my belief and my expectation. Right. So I'm looking forward. Last week, Christy and I were away. Preached a funeral for her aunt and uncle in their early 90s. They both died within a couple weeks of each other. But in preaching that, or giving that eulogy, that funeral sermon, I mentioned some things, not only reasons why we gather together, to weep with those who weep, because that's what Jesus did with the passing of Lazarus. But a second reason why we assemble is to offer hope, to give encouragement to those who remain here, who wonder what has happened to those who have passed on. We offer hope. And that's what Paul did so many times in his writings. That's what Jesus did at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Oh, let me tell you, I'm the resurrection and the life. Though he die, yet shall he live. And he said, Martha, do you believe that? She said, yea, Lord, I believe. That's our hope. Our hope. I want to look forward to that. Not only do we look forward in confidence, I mean assurance. We even sing songs, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Ah, great expectations. That's right. Means complete trust. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know, I always like that, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's right. I want to look forward to that. Look forward. We even sing other songs. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We sing songs. We're marching to Zion. Yeah, so I want to look forward. Look forward. Number four is look backward. Look backward. That's something we do in life. The old expression, those that don't know history are bound to repeat its mistakes. We look back. At the funeral last weekend, we look back at the life of aunt and uncle. We remembered the events in their life and shared our stories as we offered hope. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we look back 2,000 years. And as Clarence gave the instructions, when we partake of the bread, we remember the bodily and the bloody sacrifices made. We partake of the fruit of the vine, and we remember that the cross was bloody business. We look back. There's a time to do that. In prayers, we thank God for that sacrifice that Jesus made. In the songs that we sing, we look back to that amazing grace. In our preaching, we retell that love story that God gave a son. So we look backward too. Number five, we look inward. Self-examination time. Paul said, do that. There's a time for that. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, try yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. So there's a time to say, am I, almost like this lesson, doing all these things? Is my heart right with God? Am I standing on His side? A little self-examination. Do others know to whom I belong? Let me take a look at myself. Is everything all right? And if it's not, that self-examination should move us to make the corrections. That was the purpose for the look. Do I desire the sincere milk of the Word that I may grow thereby? Am I faithful? Do I give cheerfully? So it's time to take a look at me and not those around me. Even in partaking of the Lord's Supper, Paul gave the instruction, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Yeah, take a look at me. There's a time to look that direction inward. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Oh, that's right. How do I look in my study? And when I see and read God's Word, do I measure up? When I look into that mirror of God's Word, do I need to make some changes? Oh, look in. Look in. Number 6, look out. First, in vigilance. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, when he's in the garden and he comes back and he admonishes the disciples he took with him, he says, I want you to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Ah, two things. Yeah, look out, watch, and pray. I need God, like I said, God, I need again today. Help me. Look out. Look out for those stumbling blocks. Look out for those things that may trip you in your stewardship or benevolence or ministry. Look out. God, help me. When you see the safe path, that's what you take. Look. And our title of our lesson is, are you a good-looking Christian? As I look in, I want to look out too. In vigilance. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking he may devour. Oh, there's somebody after me. Look out. Look out. Look out for opportunities to help a brother. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 2, to bear one another's burdens. Oh, I'll just look out for me. Look out for somebody else. So when we look around, we see those sitting, even sitting beside us this morning. One of the attitudes that we should have is, what do you need? How can I help you? Let me get that. Anything I can do, the attitude is, we stand at the ready. Call me. I'll be there. I'll come a running. If I can't, I know somebody that will. Clarence. So look out. And the next is, glad to look out in seeking the lost for salvation. The wise man Solomon said, he that wins souls is wise. That's right. Look out. The last one I have is, look Christward for salvation. Look Christward for salvation. We look toward many sources for success and healthy living here. There's been self-help books. There's 10 and 12-step programs. You see the advertisements on television. This will help you. This will keep you from problems in your life or keep you from sickness. And all of these things are designed for success here. They're designed to relieve sometimes stress here or unhealthy situations for earthly living. But God offers eternal life, eternal salvation, only through His Son. There's other offers out there that are making some declarations how we can help you spiritually. And so there's offers these things. There's sometimes a modern day guru, or there's a self-realization to help you through life here, or meditation, or astrology, or a Buddha, or an Oprah. Let me help you, they say. But Jesus is introduced in Matthew 1, verse 21. You call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. From their sins. These other modern-day gurus and self-help books can't do that. Jesus, in His ministry, recommends Himself in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, not a way among many. I am the truth, not a truth among many truths. The life, not a life among many lives. No, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That eliminates all others who make the claims that I can help you get from here to heaven. I want you to look Christ for salvation. Close with this one. In John chapter 6, and beginning verse 66, the next three verses, Jesus had given some hard sayings in His teaching to the multitudes that had followed Him. And they even said that, Lord, that's a hard saying. And in verse 66, in John chapter 6, says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Peter said, and rightly so, asked the question, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are you going to go if you turn away from the Lord? To whom will you go for salvation? For forgiveness of sins? For the hope of eternal life? To whom will you go? Peter concluded, we believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So at the close of every lesson, we extend that invitation. That invitation for you to become a Christian if you have not done so already. To whom will you go? And there's a simple plan or formula that we give. Number one, you'll need to hear the gospel or good news message. Hear that God so loved the world, He sent His Son. Hear that message. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you've not heard? So you have to hear. Second, you'll want to believe that message. Jesus said it Himself in John 4, verse 24. Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus came to save me from my sins. Then number three, you want to repent because Jesus said that too in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. Then you want to make your confession of faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. A Jesus sermon. And somewhere along the line, he preached this message of salvation, this way, this pattern, this plan of salvation, because the Ethiopian stops Philip and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip commanded, stop the chariot immediately. They both go down into the water, and Philip baptizes the Ethiopian. They come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing, because salvation is always an occasion of joy. The lost coin is found, call the people together. The lost sheep is returned, call, let's celebrate. The son who is prodigal comes home, kill the fatted calf. It's meat to make merry, because this my son who was lost is found. He who was dead is alive again. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. If you don't have that joy, you have this opportunity to let it be known that you want to be baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for.